This first hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. Where's my music? There it is, right there.
It's a calling, a strange compulsion that makes us leave our homes, taking music on the road. We can't deny it, though we sometimes try it. It always haunts us if we hesitate to go. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May your wheels always turn and may the sun light up your day. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May you find your comfort in friends along the way.
I made this song for my older boy, Duncan, there in Salt Lake City. I left home when Duncan was little, and I've always regretted that. I regretted being able to take him on the passenger trains. Of course, then there were the short-haul runs. You could go down to Milford, Utah, and stay overnight in the last of the old Harvey hotels, and then come back the next day. When he was little, the long-haul trains were a lot more difficult. Well, I did leave Utah, and I did hit the road, and I did travel around, but I always thought about that. And I always rode the train every chance I had, every chance I could get. We used to have the best transportation system in the world, you know, the spider web of railroads that went in every direction. Get anywhere on the railroad trains. And then that was all junked, all scrapped for what Ken Kesey calls these little motorized coffins. We gave up that whole system far too cheaply. And what did we settle for? Well, we want it all back. We want it all back damn fast. I was charmed to see a photograph that Mike Matika sent me from the Labor newspaper there in Normal, Illinois. It was a picture he had taken in Washington, D.C. of dining car porters and waiters picketing against a shutting down of certain Amtrak lines, and they were holding up these picket signs, and they all said, "Daddy, what's a train?"
Oh, Daddy, what's a train? Is it something I can ride? Does it carry lots of grown-up folks and little kids inside? Is it bigger than our house? Well, how can I explain when my little boy asked me, "Daddy, what's a train?" When I was just a boy, a-living by the track, us kids would gather up the coal in a big old gunny sack. And we heard the warning sound as the train pulled into view. The engineer would smile and wave as she went rolling through. She blew so loud and clear, we had to cover up our ears. We counted cars just as high as we could go. I can almost hear the steam and the big old driver scream with a sound my little boy will never know. Oh, Daddy, what's a train? Is it something I can ride? Does it carry lots of grown-up folks and little kids inside? Is it bigger than our house? Well, how can I explain when my little boy asked me, "Daddy, what's a train?" I guess the times have changed. Kids are different now. But some don't even seem to know that milk comes from a cow. My little boy can tell the names of all the baseball stars. I remember how we memorized the names on railroad cars. The Wabash and the TP, Lackawanna and the IC, yeah, the nickel plate, the good old Santa Fe. Just names out of the past, I guess they're fading fast. Every time I hear my little boy say, "Daddy, what's a train? Is it something I can ride? Does it carry lots of grown-up folks and little kids inside? Is it bigger than our house? Well, how can I explain when my little boy asked me, 'Daddy, what's a train?'" We climbed into the car and drove down into town, right up to the depot house, but no one was around. We searched the yard together for something I could show. I knew there hadn't been a train for a dozen years or so. All the things I did when I was just a kid, how far away those old memories appear. And I guess it's plain to see they still mean a lot to me, 'cause my ambition was to be an engineer. Oh, Daddy, what's a train? Is it something I can ride? Does it carry lots of grown-up folks and little kids inside? Is it bigger than our house? Well, how can I explain when my little boy asked me, Daddy, what's a train?
Hey. Thank you.
Utah Phillips from the album Starlight on the Rails. This scrapbook of songs, Daddy, What's a Train? What a perfect, perfect introduction to this hour of Inland Folk, which is all about trains. And it was inspired by, I was listening really early in the morning to the BBC Outlook program, Matthew Bannister's program, and they featured a story on a gentleman named Mike Brody who rides trains, who hops trains. And I was so impressed by it. It was such an awesome report that I wanted to share it with the audience. And so I got a hold of our manager, Carrie Swanson, who, along with Gillian Coldsnow, got a hold of American Public Media, who are the distributors for the BBC World Service Program. And the BBC graciously consented without any bureaucracy or anything, just said, yeah, you can air this if you want. And so special thanks to the BBC for allowing us to air this wonderful, wonderful 8-minute segment report from the show Outlook. It aired sometime in mid-May. About Mike Brody, the man who hops trains, who still hops trains, and now there's a book of all of his photographs. And we're going to listen to that feature right now, and then we're just going to go into a whole bunch of train songs. And we're going to go into some variations and all kinds of things. We're going to go into some parodies. We have the Kingston Trio and Greg Brown and Jimmy Rogers and Johnny Cash and Heidi Muller and Tony Rice and Steve Goodman and Mary McCaslin and the Carter family and all kinds of people doing train songs. We might even go into the second hour. I'm so into this. Alrighty. So from the BBC Outlook program and the story of Mr. Mike Brody, the man who hops the trains.
I love this area. But it's a little tiny train yard by comparison to most train yards. Most train yards are huge.
Mike Brody is standing next to the train tracks near the port in Oakland, California. The tracks are under a freeway overpass. Dozens of cars zoom by overhead, many going to nearby San Francisco.
This train, I'm bound for glory, this train.
Scattered along the train tracks are a dirty brown shoe, an old pink sock, and a dried pineapple. Small signs that people have been hanging out here not too long ago.
I jumped off a train here. It was on my birthday, and we caught a train out of West Oakland. We rode it all the way to Marysville, California, and we got off right there. The train was going slow enough to where we could just, like, jog away.
So how do you jump off? Describe to me. This is I'm on a train with you. This is my first time I'm going to jump off. What do you tell me?
You don't actually jump. That's what you don't do. That's just, like, how you phrase it. But I've seen people actually jump and, like, really hurt themselves. You just kind of, you get a feel for the speed. If it's going too, you got to sense what speed is a safe speed to get off. And if it's going slow enough, you kind of just, you step off of it and run with the train. And then if you can run with the train, then you can run away.
Brody, also known as the Polaroid Kid, has been train hopping across the United States for about 10 years. He caught his first train in a town called Pensacola in Florida. He was 17 years old at the time and living with his brother and his single mother.
My dad was just getting out of prison. My mom kinda didn't want to deal with him. We knew he'd be coming around trying to hang out, and she kinda didn't really want to see him. So my mom decided that we would move to Pensacola, Florida, 2,000 or so miles away. I worked at this grocery store in Pensacola. I bagged groceries and pushed people's carts out for them and loaded their car with groceries.
Brody's girlfriend lived in a house with 7 or 8 other people, what Brody calls a punk house. He was hanging out at the punk house when he heard about train hopping for the first time.
She was like a punk rocker, you know? And I met her and I met her friends and became part of this community. Within that community was like some train riders. And I met one of them at her house one night who was sleeping on her porch. He told me about trains. He came to town on a train, and a train passed by. He told me all about it, what it was. It was a hotshot train, and it was really interesting to me, all these words he was saying. And he didn't tell me much, but a couple weeks later, I couldn't get out of my mind. I just had to hop a train, so I couldn't wait.
So a few days later, Brody caught his first freight train out of town, headed to Mobile, Arizona.
I was excited. I was scared and nervous, but I knew I could do it. I knew that, you know, the train cars just have these handholds you can grab onto, so I knew I could do it just from watching and studying the train cars. And so the train came by, and I just ran for it and caught on, just like out of a movie. I ran with it, grabbed the ladder, ran with it, hopped on, and, you know, it's not always like that. After that, I ended up, you know, usually you catch trains stopped, but I didn't anticipate that train coming by so fast, but I caught it. I think I was gone almost 3 days. I just took like 2 or 3 stale bagels and put them in my backpack, and that's all I brought. I don't think I even brought water, but it was like summer. It was like 95 degrees. It was like July.
But one thing Brody did bring along for the ride was an old Polaroid camera that he had found in the back seat of a friend's car.
It was a Polaroid Spectra camera, and I brought that. I brought one pack of film. And I didn't know what I was going to get into, but I took some photos of my shadow and just some photos of the scenery. But I don't think I even used the whole pack of film. From there on out, it was just a snowball, you know. I just kept riding more and more trains.
There's an engine at the station, and the whistle blows my name. It's calling, 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 come and get aboard the train.
I just wanted to keep riding trains. Like, I just would route them out on this map, and I just wanted to keep going and keep going and get thousands of miles and memorize all the towns and the crew change points and all the different railroad lines. And I got obsessed with it. I had this map, Professional Railroad Atlas of North America, and all I did was read it like a Bible and plan all the train rides and see where I was going to go next and just look at it all day.
And you were relatively young at the time, and arguably jumping on and off moving trains could be considered dangerous. What was your mom thinking?
She she was mad that I left town and didn't tell anyone. And eventually it got to the point where she was like, okay, just make sure you ride with someone. Don't go by yourself, which was always good advice. So I tried my best to. I guess right when I turned 17, I started to think a lot more for myself and wondering what the world was all about and wanting to find those things out. And I think train hopping ended up being a really good avenue to figure those things out.
Brody rode over 50,000 miles on trains over the past decade. He's traveled through 42 states and taken over 7,000 pictures. He realized his photos were capturing a piece of history.
Besides my own interest in just the train riding, I think I was seeing a lot of really unique and creative people, and I wanted to capture them on film, you know? I felt like every day I felt like, man, this is not going to last. I'm not going to live like this forever in either of these people. That's what was driving me. It was like this needs to be photographed, you know? And this is like my job, and I got to do this.
It's almost like you were documenting this.
Yeah, definitely, I was. So I just kept doing it.
Brody's photographs show glimpses of his life on the road. In one picture, two punk kids are sleeping in a fetal position on a train. Another photo shows a man hanging off the back of a freight train.
The trains were just filthy, you know. Every train car is just covered in just dirt and grime and just all the elements of the earth when the train's going through nature, you know, the things that you'd collect. No matter what part of the train you touch, you're going to get dirty.
Did you experience different kind of like train hopping communities throughout the country?
It was all just one big community. You know, everyone kind of knew each other, and you'd be in some random town in the middle of nowhere, and you'd run into someone who you met across the other side of the country. Because I know people who've been doing it for 30 years. I did it for 10 years. I will meet young people who, they like ride trains like it's like a sport, like they get into it like skateboarding or something. So it's not like this crazy lifestyle. They talk about it like it's second nature. Like, so that's kind of cool.
Brody says he has no regrets about the path he chose. He says he even feels lucky because he won a $10,000 award a few years ago for his photography and was able to help his mom pay her mortgage with that money.
It's like $10,000. Oh my God. Like, what am I going to do with this, you know? And my mom was her birthday, so I called her that day. I think I put all the money into my bank account, and I called her and I told her to write herself a check. She's like, are you serious, Mike? I was like, yeah, I've just probably 10 0000. She was like freaking out. She wouldn't believe it. But you know, she cashed it.
You said you stopped train hopping about a year ago. What has made you, at least for now, stop that lifestyle?
You can kind of live that way forever, and that's the scary part. I don't really want to. The main spark was when I went to jail for 10 days in Illinois, in Sullivan, Illinois. I was sitting in jail. It was only 10 days, and I was bored as hell. I was like, man, this is no way to live. Like, I'm just going to end up going to jail more, and I don't want to live in paranoia for the rest of my life, you know, like traveling and doing this. Oh, and there's a dude in jail with me. He used to be a track worker for Union Pacific, a track laborer. And I was like, man, I should just work for the railroad.
So Brody traded in his camera for a car jack and went to diesel mechanic school over the next 2 years. Now, his new obsession is to work on the trains that he once used to catch rides on.
This would be for removing bus wheels. See, when I, throughout my normal life, I avoid at all costs trying to talk about art or photography. All I want to do is talk about engines.
Do you ever feel nostalgic hearing the constant sound of the train?
Oh, yeah, every time I hear them, I love them. I love train horns. I just love being around trains.
For now, Brody says Oakland, California is his home. But who knows? He may just hop on a train one day and see where the tracks lead him.
And I feel like every town in America has something to offer if you just look for it.
the field is overgrown. Consumption has claimed his life, and we dare not miss the sight of the train carrying Jimmy Rogers home. Almost lost our spirits too. Yeah, but it's the strangest thing when we heard that man sing. Oh, we knew somehow we'd make it through. I can hear that whistle blow. That old train is rolling slow. Sounds like it's crying for the singing brakeman too. Back to the sunny south he'll go, and he'll never roam no more. Is the train, oh hold me close, oh sweetheart do.
Miles an hour when his whistle began to scream. He was found in that rake with his hand on the throttle. He was scalded to death with a steam. Did she ever pull in? No, she never pulled in. And it's 1:45, he was due. For hours and hours has a switchman been waiting for that face mail that never pulled through. Did she ever pull in? No, she never pulled in. And that poor boy, he must be dead. Oh, yonder he lays on that railroad track with the car wheels over his head. 97, she was the fastest train that the South had ever seen. But she runs so fast on that Sunday morning that that death score was number 14. Now, ladies, you must take warning from this. I now and on, never speak hard words to your true love. Then husband, he may leave you and never return.
Times that try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, the people of Boston have rallied bravely whenever the rights of men have been threatened. Today, a new crisis has arisen. The Metropolitan Transit Authority, better known as the MTA, is attempting to levy a burdensome tax on the population in the form of a subway fare increase. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
The story of a man named Charlie on a tragic and fateful day. He put 10 cents in his pocket, kissed his wife and family, went to ride on the MTA. Well, did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Charlie handed in his dime at the Kendall Square station, and he changed for Jamaica Plain. When he got there, the conductor told him one more nickel. Charlie couldn't get off of that train. But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
Poor old Charlie.
He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Now all night long, Charlie rides through the station crying, what will become of me? How can I afford to see my sister in Chelsea or my cousin in Roxbury? But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned. He may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. Charlie's wife goes down to the Scully Square station every day at 2:15. And through the open window she hands Charlie a sandwich as the train comes rumbling through. But did he ever return? No, he never returned, and his fate is still unlearned.
He may ride
forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned.
Take it, Davey.
Citizens of Boston, don't you think it's a scandal how the people have to pay and pay? Fight the fare increase, vote for George O'Brien, get for Charlie off the MTA. Or else he'll never return, no, he'll never return, and his fate is still unlearned.
Just like
he may ride forever neath the streets of Boston. He's the man who never returned. He's the man who never returned. He's the man who never returned. Hey, to Charlie.
As I listen for the whistle, lie awake and wait. Wish the railroad didn't run so near, 'cause the rattle and the clatter of that old fast freight keeps a-making music in my ear. Go bum again, go bum again. Sing with the railroad track. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. Well, I wouldn't give a nickel for the bum I used to be. Work as hard as any man in town. I got a pretty gal, she thinks the world of me. Man, it'd be a fool to let her down. Go bum again, go bum again. The railroad track. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. So every night I listen, wonder if it's late. In my dreams I'm riding on that train. I feel my pulse beating with that old fast freight. And thank the Lord I'm just a bum again. Go bum again, go bum again. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. Well, if you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back. If you go, you can't come back.
To find a home with little girls and boys. And as the little railroad train began to chug along, the little engine up in front was heard to sing this song. Choo-choo-choo-choo, choo-choo-choo-choo, I feel so good today. Oh, clear the track, oh, clickety-clack, I'll go my merry way. The little train went roaring on so fast it seemed to fly, until it reached a mountain rising almost to the sky. The little engine moaned and groaned and huffed and puffed away, but halfway to the top it just gave up and seemed to say, I can't go on, I can't go on, I'm weary as can be. I can't go on, I can't go on, this job is not for me. The toys got out to push, but all in vain, alas, alack. And then a great big engine came up whistling down the track. They asked if it would kindly pull them up the mountainside. But with a high and mighty sneer, it scornfully replied, don't bother me to pull the likes of you. Don't bother me, I've better things to do. The toys all started crying 'cause that engine was so mean. And then there came another one, the smallest ever seen. But though it seemed that she could hardly pull herself along, she hitched onto the train, and as she pulled, she sang this song. I think I can, I think I can, I think I have a plan. And I can do most anything if I only think I can. Then up that great big mountain with the cars all full of toys, and soon they reached the waiting arms of happy girls and boys. And though that ends the story, it will do you lots of good to take a lesson from the little engine that could. Just think you can, just think you can, just have that understood. And very soon you'll start to say, I always knew I could. I knew I could, I knew I could, I knew I could, I knew I could.
Great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, to the green and growing mountains and the South Belt by the shore. She ain't so tall and handsome, but she's quite well known by all. She's a modern combination on the Wabash Cannonball. You listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. She glides along the woodlands, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush to the engine, hear the lonesome mobile call. It's traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball. Our eastern states are dandy, so the people always say. From New York to Chicago and Rock Island by the way. From the hills of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall. No changes can be taken on the Wabash Cannonball. You listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. She glides along the woodlands, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engine, hear the lonesome hobo's call. You're traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball. Here's to Daddy Claxton, may his name forever stand, and always be remembered in the courts throughout the land. His earthly race is over and the curtains round him fall. We'll carry him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. You listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. She glides along the woodlands, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush to the engine, hear the lonesome hobo call. He's traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball. I was headed for Tolono on the Wabash Cannonball, Norfolk and Western all the way. St. Louis down the line, Detroit somewhere behind. I thought I heard that old conductor say, no round trip ticket, you're on the final run. This cannonball is never coming back. Tomorrow she'll just be another memory and an echo down a rusty railroad track. I got off at Tolono, just below Champaign, a flag stop on the edge of yesterday. The whistle blew a song. I whispered so long, waved my hand and slowly walked away. And no round trip ticket, you're on the final run. This cannonball is never coming back. Tomorrow she'll just be another memory and an echo down a rusty railroad track. I think about tomorrow and wonder why it is we give up all the things we love the most. And goodbye, you old hog, I'll have to ride the dog till they build a subway coast to coast. And no round trip ticket, you're on the final run. This cannonball is never coming back. Tomorrow she'll just be another memory and an echo down a rusty railroad track.
Yonder come a Miss Rosie, I knew her, do you know? Well, I know about a governor, he's trying to lose my man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a heavy loving light on me. When you get up in the morning, when that big bell rings, you go to march into the chamber. Be the same damn thing, knife and fork are on the table. There's nothing in my pain. Never said a thing about it. Have a trouble with the main. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever loving light on me. Well, I went to the nation and the territory. Well, I thought about a girl I love lived in Mexico. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever loving light on me. You ever go to Houston, boy, you better walk right. And you better not squabble, and you better not fight. Bass and Rocker will arrest you. Hayden and Boone will take you down. You're gonna bet your bottom dollar and a tangerine bound. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me. Well, jumping little Judy, she was a mighty fine girl. Well, Judy brought jumping to this whole round world. Well, she brought it in the morning, just a one more day. She brought me the news that my wife was dead. That started me to grieving, hollering and crying. Now I begin to worry about a great long time.
Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a ever-loving light on me.
Jumping on again. Old train, I've been everywhere you go, and I know what lies beyond each bend. Old train, each time you pass, you're older than the last, and it seems I'm too old for running. I hear your rusty wheels grate against the rails, they cry with every mile.
I'll stay one. Freedom that was mine. Oh, train, just to think about those times, I'll smile when you're hop-balling by. Oh, train, each time you pass, you're older than the last, and it seems I'm too old for running. I hear rusty wheels grate against the rail, they cry with every mile, and I think I'll stay a while.
Darkness of night, though you have done your best, you learn to fight. Put your soul to the test, hoping you might find one of your dreams coming true. You hop afraid, stick out your thumb, catch a ride, trying hard to recreate back when time was on your side. Now the faith you held hostage deep inside just found it's got some work it has to do. Like distant trains going through the mountains, disappearing around the bend. Like distant trains heading off into tomorrow and returning home again. Dreams never die, though it feels like they do. Don't be surprised to look and find them coming back to you. Like distant trains. When your life is moving on, if you hold tight, they'll return just like the dawn. It is your right to see them coming back to you. Like distant trains going through the mountains, disappearing around the bend. Like distant trains.
of New Orleans. Illinois Central Monday morning rail. There are 15 cars and 15 restless riders. Three conductors and 25 sacks of mail. They're all out on the southbound Odyssey, and the train pulls out of Kankakee. Rolls past the houses, farms, and fields. Passing towns that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of rusted automobiles. Singing, good morning, America, how are you? Saying, don't you know me, I'm your native son. Yes, I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. And I'll be gone 500 miles when day is done. And I was dealing cards with the old men in the club car. And it's penny a point, there ain't no one keeping score. But won't you pass that paper bag that holds that bottle? You can feel the wheels grumbling through the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters, the sons of engineers, they ride their father's magic carpet made of steam. And mothers with the babes asleep go rocking to the gentle beat. The rhythm of the rails is all they dream. Just a singing good morning, America. Saying, don't you know me, I'm your native son. And I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when day is done. Nighttime on the city of New Orleans. Changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. It's halfway home, we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, roll into the sea. And all the towns and people, they seem to fade into a bad dream. The old steel rail, it ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his song again. Passengers will please refrain. This train's got the disappearing railroad blues. Just a singing good night, America, how are you? Saying, don't you know me, I'm your native son. And I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles and day is done. Just a singing
journey about a year ago to a little town called Morrow in the state of Ohio. I've never been much of a traveler, and I really didn't know that Morrow was the hardest place I'd ever tried to go. So I went down to the station for my ticket and applied for tips regarding Morrow, not expecting to be guided. Said I, my friend, I'd like to go tomorrow and return no later than tomorrow, for I haven't time to burn. Said he to me,
now let me see if I have heard you right. You'd like to go tomorrow and return tomorrow night. You should have gone tomorrow, yesterday, and back today, for the train that goes tomorrow is a mile upon its way. If you had gone tomorrow, yesterday, now don't you see, you could have gone tomorrow and returned a day at three. For the train today, tomorrow, if the schedule is right, today it goes tomorrow and returns tomorrow night. my friend, it seems to me you're talking through your hat. There is a town named Morrow on the line, now tell me that.
There is,
said he,
but take from me a quiet little tip. To go from here tomorrow is a 14-hour trip. The train today, tomorrow leaves today at 8:35. At 10:30 tomorrow is the time it should arrive. So if from here tomorrow is a 14-hour jump, can you go today, tomorrow, and get back today, you chump?
Said I, I'd like to go tomorrow, so can I go today? And get tomorrow by tonight if there is no delay.
Well, well,
said he to me,
and I've got no more to say. Can you get anywhere tomorrow and get back again today?
Said I guess you know it all, but kindly let me say, how can I get tomorrow if I leave this town today?
Said he, you cannot go tomorrow anymore today, 'cause the train that goes tomorrow is a mile upon its way.
I was so disappointed, I was mad enough to swear, the train had gone tomorrow and it left me standing there. My man was right in telling me that I was a howling jay. I could not go tomorrow, so I guess in town I'll stay.
Oh, the Kingston Trio riding on the train to tomorrow. Well, well, well. Lots and lots and lots of train stuff. And we have more. We have probably another half hour more worth of train songs because I couldn't get through all of them. I thought I didn't have enough. But I still have lots more. We still have some Johnny Cash and some Elvis, and we have Flat and Scruggs, and we have Mary McCaslin, and we have the Carter Family, and all kinds of good stuff. So what's going to happen here is you're going to have to just hang on for the break. There's going to be a little bit of a break because we're at the end of the hour. I really need to thank Zara Debick, and I need to thank Katie Hibbett and Kevin Rinker and Jillian Coldsnow and Carrie Swanson and the BBC Outlook folks and the BBC World Service and American Public Media all and Annie Hubble all helped in this hour, this 1 hour train songs. Alrighty, so thanks all you folks, and we're gonna rock and roll into more train things. And I need to let you know that playlists are available at nwpr.org. Playlists are available at nwpr.org. Give us a couple of days to post it. Never know. Alright, Inland Folks, a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher. We're going to be right back for lots more music. You just hang on. Hang on. Hang on now.
Here's one thing techies and policymakers agree on. Computers are everywhere.
They're in your pockets, they're in your cars, they're in your appliances.
And they say we should all know how to program them.
It is the only way for you to prepare for the future.
I'm Kelly McEvers. Is coding really for everyone? That's on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us this afternoon at 4 o'clock for All Things Considered, right before A Prairie Home Companion with Garrison Keillor, here on your NPR and classical music station, Northwest Public Radio. Hour 2 of Inland Folk is just ahead, so stay with us. It's 12 noon.
Your favorite programs on Northwest Public Radio are made possible by the Washington-Idaho Symphony, presenting Mozart's dramatic opera Don Giovanni, performed in English on January 31st and February 1st at WSU's Jones Theater in Dagey Hall and at Clarkston High School on February 2nd. Details at WashingtonIdahoSymphony.org.
Northwest Public Radio, KRFA 91.7 Moscow Pullman, KNWV 90.5 Clarkston Lewiston, and KNWO 90.1 Cottonwood Grangeville, a community service of the Edward R. Murrow College of Communication at Washington State University, online at nwpr.org.